journey than an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
In chapter Baqarah, the Holy Quran says, زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ.
The life of this world is made to seem fair to those who disbelieve, and they mock those who believe. But those who guard against evil, those who are pious, shall be above them on the day of resurrection.
وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرَ حِسَابٍ.
Allah gives means of subsistence to whom He pleases without measure. And in this verse, as you can see, dear listeners, disbelievers are counted as the ones who are against the pious. It somehow can be inferred that by piety, one believer can actually reach higher status, and it could be one of the secrets why we have so many divine narrations, and actually the divine revelations have occurred during the time of fasting, specifically in a religion of Islam during the month of Ramadan. The Almighty Allah has got specific and particular times in which the speed of the wayfarer is a lot more if he tries so. And month of Ramadan is the best of those times. The wayfarer can step up to reach the higher levels of fasting, and as well as he has reached the highest levels of fasting, he can be sure that he is truly servant of the Almighty Allah, because he has kept himself away from the normal things, from the halal things, but on a specific time, without a specific reason, just because his Lord has said so. That is because the verse of the Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمًا. This is another reward because they have chosen to be from among the pious in this world. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to us. If you have any question or comment, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at farstoday.com. May Allah accept your deeds in this holy month of Ramadan, and please include all Muslims in your prayers. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Us and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show we care. 'Cause Ramadan is here.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. We've been studying different characteristics of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and we said, based on the Quran and Hadith, a very important characteristic is to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad.
Rasulullah is the one who asked people to do good things, right things, and keep away from bad things. Those things which are pleasant, he said, it is halal, it's permissible, you can eat, you can drink, you can do. Those things which are bad, you don't like, you don't do it. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Rasulullah is a man who has come to liberate humanity. Humanity in the time of Jahiliyyah was under pressure, under burden. Ignorance, superstitious ideas, shirk, the politics of Quraysh, which wanted to enslave people and benefit from them, to serve them, were making too much pressure on humanity. They were chained up. They were not able to move. They were not able to breathe. They were not able to understand. They were not even able to have education. The number of people who were able to read and write in that society was less than fingers of one person. The way they treated women, the way they treated children, slaves, visitors, all of them are well documented in the books. So people were suffering. Rasulullah came as a person who wanted to liberate people. He didn't come to put pressure on people. You know, unfortunately, sometimes either because we have not been introduced Islam in a proper way, or we are misinformed, we think that if you follow Islam, then you are very restricted. Islam is restricting you. Islam is against your freedom and liberty. This is not the case. Islam has come to free us, to liberate us. And Rasulullah is the pioneer in liberating humanity. Who is more free than سلمان than Abu Zar, than Ammar, than companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein said, I want to offer you freedom. Kunu ahraran fi dunya. Amir al-Mu'minin said, La takun abda ghayrik, qad ja'alaka Allahu hurra. Do not be a slave of someone who is like you. Another person who is like you. Allah has created you free. Islam gives us freedom. What is freedom? Some people, you know, make a mistake here. Once I read this on a magazine, I very much liked it. It was actually a Christian magazine, but it was very nice. It said, freedom is not to be able to do what you like. Freedom is to be able to do what you should do. What I should do for my benefit, for my family, for my society, what I should do, if I am able to do, that is freedom. If you don't let me to do what I am benefiting from, so I have no freedom. But if I say freedom is to do what I like, okay, there are many mischief that I may like to do. This is not freedom.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers, open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
So Rasulullah came to free people so that they do what they should do, what they can benefit from, what can give them happiness in dunya and akhirah. So yada'u anhum israhum wal aghlal allati kanat, all the chains and locks which were chaining up humanity, Rasulullah removed them. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَأَهْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those who believe in this man of virtue, man of makarim al-akhlaq, man of freedom, and help him and support him and follow what? Follow the book which has been sent with him, the Quran, which is light. وَاتَّبَعُ النُّورِ. This Quran is light. These are the people who are happy. These are the people who have had falah and salvation. May Allah inshallah include us among them. So, ma'roof is something which is good, which is right, which is supposed to be done, and munkar is opposite. Of course, after you receive guidance from Islam, after you are introduced to Sharia, you can have much more elaborate account and understanding of ma'ruf. You can have a detailed account of ma'ruf and munkar from Sharia. That helps us to refine and get more accurate understanding of Sharia. So now I want to refer to the section on Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar in the manual. All our maraja have this in their risala, but this is according to Ayatollah Sistani, hafazahullah. So he starts with an introduction, and he says Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar are two of the greatest obligations. Two of the greatest religious obligations. Then he refers to the ayah that we discussed, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرُ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then he quotes a hadith from Rasulullah. You know, when a marja quotes a hadith, it's very important. It means that this hadith is 100% verified by marja. لَا تَزَالْ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرُ مَا أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Rasulullah says, my community, my nation will be always in right condition as long as they do amr al-ma'roof and they prohibit munkar and help each other to do good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. They help each other, they assist each other for doing good. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. If they don't do this, نُزِعَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْبَرَكَاتِ. Allah will take away His blessing. Then you would see there would be poverty. There would be so many disasters. There would be tyrant governments. وَسَلَّتَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then Allah will make bad people rule them. Then they would have no helper in on this earth nor in the sky.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and all of Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say, Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند این ذکر خداست. ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
I invite you to listen to a short part of Chapter 9 of the book Sirr-us-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. The praying is the main gate of hearts and souls worshipping, and little by little, The God soldiers within the realm of one's essence watches praying and worshipping, and it will be a discovery of praising features and glory upon the heart and achieves the first manifestation of Tawheed. Afterwards, the conduct's divine way will be opened for him, and he will be the deserved entering the real prayer by the help of Allah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another saying of Imam Khomeini in which he said, "The Quran is a book designed to produce true human beings. It is a book that covers all the stages in man's development." According to this saying, Quran is a complete book, and that is how Quran is. And the month of Ramadan is a chance in which we can benefit the most from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran talks about the munafiqeen, and he says, don't become hypocrite. It talks about the fasiqeen. He says, don't become transgressors. Do not become transgressors. So what do you need to become? You need to become a mu'min. There is always a door of tawbah, repentance, open for you. And Imam says that this book is a book that covers all the stages in man's development. But the point is, are we benefiting from this book the way we should? Because about Imam Khomeini, his close companions, they said he used to recite Quran 8 times in a day.
أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا رمضان
So in different times of a day, he used to recite, open the Quran and recite a couple of verses or maybe pages. And according to some other narrations that we have or the comments that we received from his companions or family members, they said that in the holy month of Ramadan, Imam used to finish the whole Quran in 3 days. Now, a person who is finishing the whole Quran in 3 days, while he knows the language and the way he stepped forward, the way he came forward in order to have the revolution and the way he was succeeded, it shows that, yes, he got all his guidance from this book, which is the book of guidance, the book of Quran. He got this guidance from the Quran. He got this courage from the Quran. And he is succeeded because of the Quran. And that's why he is now advising us to go towards the Quran, to look into the Quran, and to find the guidance from the Quran. But the condition is to be muttaqi before getting the guidance. The statements are clear, but those who are muttaqi, those who are pious, those who have fear of God, will get the guidance and the admonition from the Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran
full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I begin in His blessed name for granting us this opportunity to continue to reap infinitely in the grace and the mercy of God. Continuing, inshallah, we're going to talk tonight about the mercy of God and seeing the glass as half full. So abstinence, sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, Ramadan, it holds me back from doing things. I end up not being able to be as normal as I usually should be. Well, I'd like us to consider the following, and it's a sincere advice, that what we do in Ramadan should be our normal. And what we do after Ramadan in our lives should be the abnormal. Just advice. You know, if we flip it and say the 11 months that generally should not be my normal. My normal should be Ramadan, the lifestyle that I led in Ramadan. You might say, but what do you mean by that? Well, let us, for example, spiritually abstain. We may not have to stop drinking and eating, but why can't we consistently abstain spiritually from conducting bad deeds, okay, for indulging in bad deeds? So we say, okay, for the rest of the 11 months of the year, I'm going to be fasting spiritually. That means I'm going to stop backbiting, I'm going to stop fault finding, I'm going to stop cheating and stealing, and I'm going to be much more forgiving and caring, because that's what Ramadan has taught me. Like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, elegantly stated that prayer begins when it ends. When he was asked, you know, you're praying relatively quickly for a scholar of your stature, and Imam looks at him and says, prayer begins when it ends. And that was deep. It was so profound for me that I couldn't understand it at first. I became dizzy because I thought that was sort of a contradiction. How can prayer begin when it ends? It's a contradiction. It appears to be. But then, subhanAllah, it was a staring at me and telling me that what you just did for 5, 7, 10 minutes was just your business plan. You were just bearing witness with your right hand and putting your hand on the Quran and said, I, Hasanain, am going to do the following, you know, till death do me part. Now, when you let go and you walk away and you sit in that box where you're going to be interrogated, now all that you paid allegiance to is going to pay here, because you're going to be held liable now. This is our life. That as soon as we finish the salam, we should say, okay, I bore witness that my Lord is the master of the universe. Right? Maliki Yawmiddin, God is the master of the day of judgment. Not me, not you, nobody. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You we worship and from you we ask. Okay, then do that. Don't go asking for, you know, bowing and begging from people. Sure, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, if you go ask somebody for help or whatever, do it within the parameters of the divine. So this way you don't become a slave of anybody. Right? And of course, we say, guide me on the right path, the path of those you've chosen. Okay. Then as soon as Salah is over, let's choose. Who are we following? Are we following those Hollywood stars? Are we following the music industry that's, you know, going to put all kinds of whisperings into our ears that may take us away? Are we following our neighbors and our friends because they are, you know, they seem cooler than me, or they, you know, they seem good in society? No. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. So Salah, when it's finished, the actual act of prayer is then when we're going to enact. And hopefully the next prayer that comes, our enacting will be even better and even better. It's almost like you're becoming an expert in this field. For each permutation, we're getting better. So when Ramadan is ending, we should not say, oh, where's the moon? Let's find that moon. I can't wait to celebrate. Celebration is highly, highly recommended in the Quran. Allah even mentions celebration for Eid. He mentions in the Quran. Two celebrations are mentioned in Quran. One is when the Battle of Badr took place. Allah said, celebrate. And when you have abstained from the month of Ramadan from fasting. In other words, you've fasted and abstained from your normal indulgences. Meaning you've done it. You've succeeded. So celebrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. And therefore, we should celebrate. Eid should be a celebration where we go to our families and our friends and we go and share. Now, of course, today with the COVID, we cannot, but we can certainly do it online. We can do it with WhatsApp. We can do it with the mobile phones. We can send messages, say, hey, I remember you, Eid Mubarak, you know, Qul amantu bi khair, you know, and so on. I remember you, I prayed for you. That's also very powerful, you know, besides the physical meeting. So let's make and look at the list of people on our WhatsApp or on our FaceTime or whatever and say, okay, well, who's the person I haven't messaged for a while? How about I send them a little, you know, Eid Mubarak? Oh, that person I had a fight with. That person doesn't like me. Good. That's the one I'm going to send Eid Mubarak to. That's the one I'm going to say I prayed for you this Ramadan. Do it and watch. The other side may respond in a positive way. They may ignore you. It doesn't matter. Then in time again, you send it again. That's our witness on judgment day. That, oh Allah, you loved me to be, to do silatul rahim. You wanted me to make peace with people and my family. Well, here it is. Even if they didn't accept me, that was my strategy. That's ibadah. So in conclusion to this month of Ramadan, let us not just put away, once the hilal shows up, we're back to our routines and we're back to our old ways. You know, if we've stopped smoking, then maintain that. If we're addicted to something, you know, some people are addicted to coffee in the morning, addicted. Well, you might think, what's wrong with coffee addiction? Well, my advice is don't be addicted with anything. Enjoy the coffee. Enjoy the cappuccino. Enjoy the tea. But don't be addicted to it. No. I've seen people suffer in Ramadan because they're so addicted to something, they can't handle it. That start of Ramadan at the cost of something that we're addicted to makes us start the blessed month on the wrong footing. And then that wrong footing sort of makes us dislike the month. And then what does shaitan do? Whispers into our ears, I can't wait for this month to end so I can go back to my addiction. This is precisely what this month is for, that we should work very hard to say, if I'm addicted to something and I know it's just a physical addiction, then I'm going to teach myself a lesson. I'm going to move away from that. And it's not very difficult. I had a cousin of mine who swore that he would never stop smoking. He used to actually hold two cigarettes just to get into people's nerves, you know. He said, look, I'm smoking twice. And this is just as I've seen people smoke up to 80, 90 years of age and they haven't died. So what's wrong with smoking? No problem. You really think there's nothing wrong with it? But we have to bear in mind that secondhand smoke is actually worse than smoking. So we're harming others when we do this, which is even worse. It's one thing to harm the self. When we harm others, God will hold us liable. But here's the moral of the story in this point. This individual once went to the Museum of Natural History, and he saw a person who had died of emphysema, and their lung was completely a black piece of blob. Okay? The nicotine is, you know, the tar that builds up in the lungs is so overwhelming. It's like glue. You can't touch it. This is the lung that's supposed to be taking in oxygen and, you know, taking out carbon dioxide. You find that this just was completely clogged. This individual saw that, and he says, that's the lung that I have? He said, that's the lung you have. That day he stopped. Now, why did he stop that day? Was it because, wasn't the chemical in his body pulling it? I tell you, when this mind convinces the heart that this is something bad, you'll find that suddenly, naturally, you start to dislike it. And yes, it's easier said than done, and I agree. You know, I'm not claiming that, you know, you can just turn this switch on and boom, you're going to be out of your addiction. No. But I do believe that when somebody makes a sentence or a statement that is harmful to us, or, you know, sort of wakes us up and tells us that this will harm you, and you really believe it will harm you, your body will just naturally gravitate and move away from that. So in the month of Ramadan, Allah is helping us precisely for that.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
Grateful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of Truth. A selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints. Date February 1st, 1979, place Behesht-e-Zahra Cemetery, Tehran. Subject: the illegal nature of the parliament, the government appointed by the Shah, and the regime's seditious elements. Occasion: the return of Imam Khomeini after 15 years in exile. Addresses: millions of people from Tehran and various cities of Iran.
The government, which derives from a king who is illegitimate and whose father was illegitimate, is illegitimate. Likewise, the parliament members who are designated by such a government are illegitimate. A government appointed by such a parliament and king is illegitimate. This nation, which wanted to take issue during the reign of Muhammad Reza Khan, was saying that it did not want this monarchy and that its destiny should be in its own hands. And now it is again saying that it considers these parliament members, the Senate and this government, illegitimate. Can someone appointed by an illegitimate parliament or a Senate or a monarch be legitimate? We are saying that you, that is the Shah's government, are illegitimate and should step down.
Peter Snow, News at 10, Paris.
We did the first long interview with the Ayatollah.
It is the temporary residence of the man who symbolizes the religious opposition to the Shah and who guides the movement to overthrow him. Have you considered it might be the time to compromise, to accept the concessions he's made to avoid the deaths of perhaps thousands of your followers?
If the Shah tell the truth, and he is honest in what he says, then he has to accept and submit to the demands of the people.
In any case, we were invited to the holy city of Qom to interview him there in his headquarters.
We declare that the incumbent government, which proclaims itself the legitimate one, does not even believe in its own legitimacy. At the time that the government was not yet in the hands and his ministry was not in existence, he, that is Bakhtiar, considered the government illegitimate. What has happened that now he is saying that his government is legitimate? This parliament is illegitimate, asked the parliament members themselves if they had been elected by the people. We will take each one of them who claims that has been elected by the people to his own polling precincts and will ask the people there whether this gentleman is their representative or not. We will ask them if they appointed him. Rest assured that their reply would be negative. Therefore, thus a nation which is crying out that this government, this king, and this parliament are all against the law, and a nation which has the religious law, legal and human right, to hold its destiny in its own hands, deserve to have a graveyard of martyrs built for it in Tehran and in other places?
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha
Africa Today.
The people of Africa join the rest of the world every year to mark the International Quds Day to express solidarity with the Palestinian people. This year, Quds Day rallies are restricted in most parts of the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, despite the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions recently in South Africa, the ruling party's ANC Provincial Secretary Jacob Howe organized a protest gathering in the country's capital, Pretoria, against the Israeli apartheid regime. Let's take a listen.
Palestine, we love you. Palestine, we love you. Palestine, we love you. Palestine, we love you. Israel, you're a murderer. Israel, you're a murderer. Israel, you're...
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today, which is a special edition on the occasion of the International Quds Day. We shall be talking about Africa's support for the liberation of Palestine and Quds Day in Africa.
Africa's support for Palestine. The International Quds Day is a legacy of the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Quds is the Arabic name for Jerusalem. Imam Khomeini designated the day in solidarity with Palestinians who have been persecuted by the usurper Israeli regime for over seven decades. Since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, the International Quds Day has been held worldwide on the last Friday of the Holy Muslim Fasting Month of Ramadan. Supporters of the Palestinian Liberation Movement from across the world, regardless of race and religion, now recognize the International Quds Day as the day of condemning the apartheid regime of Israel and expressing solidarity with Palestinians.
African people have always strongly and passionately supported the Palestinian people and their right to self-determination. Palestinians recall the historic proclamation of the iconic anti-apartheid leader Nelson Mandela, who said, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians." Now, over the years, African people have always turned out massively to mark the International Quds Day. For an incisive analysis on Africa's support for Palestine, we contacted Tshepo Magama, an activist and a former member of South African Parliament. He's also a senior board member and spokesperson of Africa for Palestine. We also have Bukangesa, a member of Kenya Palestine Solidarity Movement. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time. Let's start off with Mr. Magama in South Africa. Now, African countries have over many decades supported Palestine. What's the state of this support currently?
Well, of course, African countries remain committed to the Palestinian question. But of course, what we have also seen, at least for the past decade or so, and this actually started even before the advent of Trump in the U.S., that the U.S. started exerting pressure on African leaders to take a step back on the Palestinian question. So that was nearly intensified by Trump, and of course there was much more a focus on the issue of African support for Palestine. And then, of course, you had a push from the side of the U.S., to get African countries to support Israel. And then on the agenda of the African Union, then came the question of Israel trying to get an observer member seat, which, of course, has hitherto been unsuccessful.
That's Sisseto Magama, an activist and a former member of South African Parliament.
Before the COVID-19 pandemic, many African people in countries such as Nigeria, Ghana, Tanzania, Kenya, and South Africa held various protest marches or indoor gatherings to show of solidarity with Palestinians. These gatherings attracted both Muslims and non-Muslims in support of the liberation of Palestine.
But we must be very clear that the people of Palestine have every right to struggle for their dignity and their freedom. And we support the struggle.
Now I'd like to ask Mr. Angessa, how important is it for Africans to show solidarity with Palestinians, especially during the International Quds Day?
First of all, I would say that the Al Quds International Day for the African people and same to the Palestinian people is a day to confront the arrogant powers, of the United States the apartheid regime in Israel and also their Western allies. That's how the African people see the International Al Quds Day.
Mr. Bukangesa, a member of Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement.
Muslims in Nigeria hold some of the largest rallies marking the International Quds Day amid brutal crackdown by security forces in the country. Nigeria's top Muslim cleric, Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zakzaki, the leader of the Islamic movement in Nigeria, has been in detention since late 2015. He played a major role in popularizing Quds Day in the country. Even during his incarceration, Muslims continued to heed his call and turn out in large numbers during Quds Day rallies.
Now, Mr. Ngessa, over the years, many African cities have witnessed rallies and events marking the International Quds Day. Now, is the anti-Zionist movement growing in Africa?
Now, from the interpretation of my long involvement of anti-Zionist movement in Africa and global, I can see that the popularity of the rallies to support the Palestinian struggle has been moving from strength to strength, because certain divisive campaigns that have been, bringing down the solidarity has since been defeated. In fact, in the last 7 years, the scaling up of anti-Zionist movement in Africa has been commendable, especially being driven by the political parties of the left and even the progressive human rights organization and global citizens of the world.
Following on from last year's successful campaign for Quds Day, and in spite of the continued challenges due to the COVID-19 pandemic, this year's Quds Day will once again be a global Fly the Flag campaign in many countries. During this campaign, freedom-seeking people from around the world raised the flag for Palestine on the days leading to the Quds Day.
Mr. Angessa, this year, just like last year, there will be few or no public rallies on Quds Day. Now, what online activities are being held there in Kenya to keep alive this movement for the support of Palestine?
In Kenya, as the founding member of Kenya-Palestinian Solidarity Committee and even Kenyans for Palestine here in Kenya, we will be escalating a few online and offline activities to highlight the Al Quds Day. And the most important one is the BDS movement, and we have already rolled out the first newsletter to highlight why we should not be supporting a regime profiting from war. We should not, supporting the African people should disassociate themselves from the regime that is profiting from occupying and subjugating other people.
Now, Mr. Ngessa there talked about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, popularly known as the BDS. Now, this is a movement that works to end international support for Israeli regime's oppression of Palestinians. Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, elaborates here on the importance of the BDS movement.
Let me say it loud and clear, ladies and gentlemen, for all to hear. Next to the internal popular protest movement waged in the face of all odds by the brave and courageous children, women and men of occupied Palestine, BDS is the most painful thorn in the side of apartheid Israel.
Now, Mr. Magama, how successful is the movement to boycott the Israeli regime in Africa?
I think the work that is being done is commendable. There's still a lot more work that needs to be done. As I alluded to earlier, we need to build that broad constellation of forces. There's still a lot of potential, to spread BDS across the continent and, of course, other continents as well. Latin America, I mean, Asia itself, the larger Asia, and so on and so on. So I'm saying to you that instead of looking at its successes, I think perhaps one specific success that I want to highlight, having spoken about Kutzday a moment ago, is to say one of the things it has done, it is to sensitize people around the plight of the Palestinian people, such that you now have many more people aware of what is happening, and it has effectively, or is indeed effectively, countering Israeli and U.S. propaganda.
Dr. Ramzi Berood, Palestinian author, journalist, and academic, visited Kenya to launch his new book, The Last Earth, A Palestinian Story. Now, speaking to a local TV station there, he attempted to elaborate on the commonalities between Palestinian and the Kenyan struggle for independence. Now, let's take a listen.
Frankly, and maybe I'm being a little bit too bold with this statement, but I believe that if you do not support the Palestinian people, you are betraying the very legacy of your own anti-colonial struggle in this country. Mm-hmm. You have, there are certain parts of your history. If I take that text or that passage describing these parts of your history, and I take the certain terminology out and replace it with Palestinians, it would read as if you are reading Palestinian history. It's one and the same.
Now, Mr. Ngessa, what are some of the commonalities between Africa and Palestine in terms of struggle against colonialism and occupation?
Have a common history with history of colonialism. They also have a history of occupation. They have a history of subjugation. So in that way, then there is a lot of common aspects between the Palestinian struggle and the struggle of the African people. Remember that in Kenya, when we have the British colonialists here, the Kenyan masses had to come together and fight against the British colonization and also to free their prisoners. In that way, we see a lot of common, historical facts around the struggle for the Palestinian statehood and the struggle of the African people, or even the people, or the colonized people of the world.
Now, Mr. Magama, we have had Mr. Ngessa talking about the commonalities between African and Palestinian struggle against colonialism. Now, I understand you have visited the occupied territories and you had first-hand experience with Israeli brutality. Now, how will you compare the current Israeli apartheid regime and South Africa during the apartheid regime?
You see, there is a deliberate conflation of what we say when we say that Israeli apartheid shares some similarities South African apartheid. But by saying that, we are merely talking about the similarities. But it is, in many respects, much, much worse than it was under this brutal apartheid settler colonial regime that we faced in South Africa. So that should not be mistaken or misconstrued. It is indeed the experience of many of us, of those who had the opportunity to visit the occupied Palestinian territories, and that is why the Israeli regime goes out of its way to prevent people to visit the occupied Palestinian territories. I know I've had that experience myself when leading a committee of parliament, we were simply denied entry to Gaza.
After the 1993 Oslo Accord, Palestinian authorities, led by the PLO, decreased their active engagement with Africa. Instead, they endlessly turned towards the goodwill of the West, hoping that the very colonial powers that had primarily created, sustained, and armed Israel would miraculously become more balanced and humane.
Now, Mr. Magema, how did the Oslo agreements and normalization of ties with the Israeli regime impact on the support of African states for Palestine?
That the struggle is not over. There's still a lot more work that needs to be done, and that indeed we have to intensify, the struggle against this brutal, settler colonial regime, and bring a decisive end to the Palestinian question. But having said that, I think one of the negative consequences, to speak directly to your question, was that there was that sense that, okay, at least now we are seeing the end of the road. But I think everybody has now woken up to the realization that this has been a farce all along, and that Israel had no such intentions, in spite of the best attempts of Palestinians, to implement the stipulations of the Oslo Accord. Israel had no intentions of making good on its promises.
Now, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we shall talk about how some African countries are being forced to normalize ties with the Israeli regime. Don't go away.
Africa's support for Palestine.
Last year, Sudan's transitional government was arm-twisted by the U.S. into normalizing ties with the Israeli regime and abandoning its traditional support for Palestine. Morocco also agreed to normalize ties with the Israeli regime in a deal brokered by the U.S. Now, in return, Washington agreed to recognize Morocco's sovereignty over the Western Sahara. African people have come out to oppose their government's normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. In Sudan, angry protesters set ablaze Israeli flags to protest the country's normalization with the Israeli regime.
The Israeli regime has been using unconventional means to extend its influence in Africa and undermine the continent's support for Palestine. Can the Israeli regime diminish the historical support of Africans for Palestine?
These moves by the Israeli regime towards the African people, they can convince only a few corrupt governments in Africa. And they can also convince a few corrupt politicians in Africa.